9:25. We're just about to the bottom of the hour on the morning roundup, a Friday morning edition of the show, rounding out your week of coverage out here in Southwest Kansas from KWKR Studios. Baylen Height, Derek Decker. We bring it into our second segment of the show. We're talking Big 12 basketball. It's been a busy week for Big 12 basketball, which that's about expected when you think about the fact that conference play got started last week and everything with surprises and teams that in places not a lot of people thought. Also with the fact that the conference is just the best conference in college basketball right now and probably will be throughout the entire year. But the biggest story we're talking about today is one of a somber note, and that's Chris Beard being fired at Texas. Beard was arrested once again for a domestic violence issue on December 12th. The team immediately put him on leave, and then they went ahead, had Rodney Terry, the associate head coach, take over in the time. This was an incident that happened with his fiance that was originally reported that there was a choking involved, biting, spitting, part of the incident. And then now it's being reported, his fiance comes out. She's kind of walked it back just a little bit based on what the police report gave out. And it was all in self-defense, according to her. There was no strangulation or anything like that. But there were, you know, kind of mixed reports even about that from the original police report. The biggest thing here, Chris Beard is out. Texas does not have its head coach that it had gone and spent a lot of money on. Came in from Texas Tech after spending a few seasons, even coached at Fort Scott for quite some time, did Chris Beard. So there's a Jayhawk connection right there. Will not have to be paid the buyout because of a felony behavior. So Texas has its full book as if they needed more money. But they do have their full book to go out and potentially get another head coach. Derek, before we bring in what I think a lot of folks are maybe concerned about as far as if you're a K-State fan, and I'll get to that here in a second. What do you make of this situation? I mean, we've seen coaches get in trouble in the past, right? Whether it be, you know, a DUI or some behavior off the court. But it hasn't really gone this route. It's typically, okay, the incident happens, you're fired, you're done. This was a little bit different. You had the situation in which he was arrested, put on leave. You know, details would come out. It was kind of quiet, though. The university really waited and gave Chris Beard some time to kind of put this together in his defense. And now we're just about a month past that, not quite a month, and they've gone ahead and they've let him go.
Yeah, I think this one's unique in the fact that Chris Beard did this during the season where it feels like the vast majority of troublemaking, at least for head coaches, happens during the offseason, so it's usually penalties. I mean, the thing that's coming right to my mind is the Mark Few DUI situation where last year he served, I think it was a four-game suspension at the start of the year, and he had a couple games of exhibition game to sit out, so it wasn't that big of a deal. This one obviously has a different element to it because it's a domestic violence situation, and I think with the way things have evolved in the past on that front, you know, you're going to have, especially colleges, you're going to have people be super, super careful in how they handle it. But I also think it's a good thing that they allowed the facts to kind of settle in and said, hey, we're not going to just immediately fire you for an allegation. We're going to say, hey, we're going to wait for what the official word is, and then we're going to decide. And I think folks knew, you know, at some point this was going to happen. I am a little surprised that it had lasted this long. I thought it would be a few days maybe before he gets fired. At the end of the day, this is, you know, kind of what he gets. Bad situation for Chris Beard. And I don't remember if I said this to you yesterday or not, but I remember saying it to somebody, and I've said it a couple times in the past. I think Chris Beard very easily could make a return to junior college basketball because that's not something on a resume that a lot of folks will give you right away. Think it's possible you can go to a mid-major. I mean, you think Rick Pitino at Iona, but this is a little bit different. This isn't just your run-of-the-mill like NCAA violations, cheating scandal. This is criminal activity. So I imagine that Chris Beard is going to keep coaching someday, and he very well may return to his roots in the Jayhawk.
Well, and the unfortunate thing about it, too, is college, you know, athletics, sometimes the business gets thrown in with the personal aspect of it. And sometimes that opens an opportunity. And two things I saw regarding that, Derek, last night were the fact that he wasn't a loser, right? As far as like coaching, I'm talking strictly coaching. Like they didn't lose games. They were good. He had a good system. He's able to recruit, do those things at Texas Tech, made that obviously NCAA tournament run. And he comes over to Texas. Unfortunately, programs, and whether it be right, I'm not going to say unfortunately, whether it be right or wrong, right? Programs make decisions based on typically results on the court. And his next employer will look at this, obviously the facts and everything that still needs to come out, full investigation will be done, are going to look at it, the wins and losses, and they'll say, okay, how have you moved on from this, right? How have you grown? How have you made yourself a better person? How have you, because that's more important than anything. It's not necessarily getting back to coaching. It's making sure this doesn't happen again and understanding why it happened and grow. Because there are people out there that have made bad decisions. They've hurt people and they can grow, right? There's a chance for a second chance. And hopefully that's at the forefront of everyone involved in this situation versus, okay, how quick can you get back to coaching? Right. Let's dive into this. Let's look why this happened and let's make sure this never, ever, ever happens again. Because if it does, there's going to be big time issues and everybody affected. Second thing I want to get to at this point, and I think you're right. I think he will return to coaching at some extent, and it could be right here in the Jayhawk. What does this mean for Texas as far as a head coaching search? And you might want to look away or turn your audio off, Kansas State fans. I think they throw a lot of money at Jerome Tang. I think that's not a bad place to start. I would be, I'd be scared if I was a Kansas State fan, because look what Tang's done in half a season, pretty much with nothing. The cupboard was bare, right? Marquise Noel was really the only main returner for the Wildcats. It was all transfers coming in from the portal to Kansas State. He's had a great start in the Big 12. He knows the Big 12, spent 10-plus seasons at Baylor as an assistant under Scott Drew and everything that he did over there. I think on paper he makes sense. I mean, does he not, Derek? That's a hire, come back to the state of Texas, that would make a lot of sense for at least the Longhorns to try to entertain.
He could, and obviously Rodney Terry is the first guy to consider. I mean, there's a few guys that come to my mind too, and first of all, I like that pick. I think it's definitely a possibility, and I think it's honestly one that goes under the radar because of K-State's stature, although they've gained a lot of attention this week with their big-time win. But let's also remember that Texas is an athletic department that has big-time goals and really deep pockets. Nate Oates, I mean, you got to start thinking big swingers, like some of the most attractive coaches in college basketball that they could take a shot at. Nate Oates is a possibility. Eric Musselman's a possibility. I've even seen Mick Cronin's name thrown around a couple of times. I mean, I think, and it's not anything on Jerome Tang. I think he's just more unproven as a major head coach. I think they take a swing for somebody bigger. And it could be any of those three guys. It could be somebody else as well if they want to go for the up-and-coming route. Personally, I think we're past the age of, dipping into the mid-major pool. And Texas knows all about that, right, with Shaka Smart. So I highly doubt that they're going to go that direction. I think they're probably going to get big money, just like they did with Chris Beard. And again, as you mentioned, they don't have to pay the buyout. So they've got a ton of money just sitting there waiting for somebody to get a chunk into it. And I think they go for a big-time name in college basketball. But that's just my opinion.
Do you think a guy like Jay Wright has any interest? I know he's been retired, and I know he's not at Villanova anymore, and I don't know how that system would necessarily fit what he did there in the Big 12, but do you think that's a name? I mean, Mark Few, would this be the job that he goes away from Gonzaga for?
I don't think so. Jay Wright makes a little bit more sense than Mark Few. I think Jay Wright, though, is kind of an East Coaster by heart, and the systems that he has run, I don't know if they'd necessarily be conducive to the Big 12. Plus, I don't know if he's willing to uproot his life and move to Texas after retirement to do that. And then for Mark Few, I think he could coach anywhere. I think almost anybody would be lucky to have him as a coach. But I also think he's been at Gonzaga so long, and he's done what he's done there and built that program to what it is, that he's in a terrific spot. I don't see him leaving for that either. I really do think that. And the interesting thing about this too, Baylen, right, with Nate Oates and Eric Musselman, with those two names being tossed around, with Texas going to the SEC, this thing gets really interesting because those two guys are very fascinating to look at. The Mick Cronin one, I'm not so sure about, just because he's only been at UCLA for a couple of years now. I think Nate Oates and Eric Musselman, in my opinion, if and this is all assuming they don't hire Rodney Terry. A lot of that depends on what they do the rest of the season. If they make a deep NCAA tournament run, which the way this team looks right now, doesn't look like that's going to be the case, but there's plenty of time between now and March to make that up. I mean, we've seen teams recover in the past plenty of times. But I think Nate Oates and Eric Musselman are the two favorites to get this job. At least for Texas, it should be their two top targets to try and go out and get, because those two guys are in the elite echelon of college basketball coaches right now.
I'm right there with you. I think that I spaced the SEC move. I'm not going to lie. I didn't even – that didn't come to my mind right away, right? I'm still so locked in this Big 12 right now that I didn't even think about with the names like Eric Musselman, Nate Oates, who have ascended up the college basketball rankings rather quickly. That would be a very desirable spot for those guys already spending time in the SEC with two programs that don't have the resources on the basketball court that Texas has, right? They've gotten them there, but that's a great idea, and I think that that's a very good point to turn to. We'll finish off the Big 12 talk by looking at this Kansas-West Virginia matchup. That game can be heard on KBUF at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Pregame starts at 3:30, I should say, tip-off at 5 p.m. And then K-State gets Baylor, and I said this is a big game for Kansas State, and it's even more important because when you look at right now, Baylor's 0-2 to start conference play, right? They're hungry for a win. Kansas State's got all the attention, surprise team of the Big 12 so far. This is the game that I think tells us the most about not only Baylor, but Kansas State. 4 p.m. pregame for that one, 5 p.m. tip-off on Mix 94.5 tomorrow. You can catch that one live. What do you make of these matchups? I think West Virginia could give Kansas a run because just like Baylor, West Virginia desperate for a win as well. And I think this is the game for Kansas State personally, Derek, where they have to show it to us if they're going to be legit.
I totally agree with you, and I think this is a game where Kansas could get exposed, but I'll save a good chunk of my preview because they will be reemerging in our five-star pick'em later in the show. But this provides a very interesting matchup on paper. A lot on the line for West Virginia, I think more so than Kansas, because Kansas was able to slip away with those two wins to start the conference season very tight, and of course didn't give you a whole lot of confidence going forward that Kansas is just going to walk all over this league, which I'm not sure really anybody has been saying. You know, this is a deep league, and we've all known that, but maybe even deeper and better than we thought before the season. But this is a really, really good, and it's in almost prime time on Saturday late afternoon. Very fun to catch a piece of this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait. You can catch those once again. The KU game starts the pregame coverage at 3:30 on KBUF. Can head on over and get set for tip-off at 5 p.m. And then Kansas State pregame at 4 p.m. 5 p.m. tip-off there on Mix 94.5. Those games are tomorrow. Well, that sets the table for our final break. And when we come back, the return of the five-star pick'em. We'll hear Derek's thoughts on the West Virginia. We'll pick those games, go back and forth against each other. And a little bit more. Talk about an upset pick for the weekend. And your ticket to the bank. The real reason why you're listening, of course, on a Friday edition of the Morning Roundup. We'll be back in a few minutes here. Stick with us on 99.9 The Rock.